2 Corinthians tonight. I have a thought on my heart. I try not to be too long with it, but I do want to bring the message the Lord's put on my heart. The Lord's been really good to me this week. I think some great thoughts, and I appreciate those that have made positive comments about the message this morning. And I do thank the Lord for this old book, don't you? I believe it is the answer in our generation and in every generation. Let me see if I can pick up tonight without reading a whole lot, and then we'll go back through the text tonight. Look at verse 7 with me in chapter 1. If you're able, stand with me tonight in reverence to the Word of God. The Bible said, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation." Now tell me something tonight. What in the world do these evangelists and preachers that get up there telling you that if you love God, you'll never suffer, what do they do with a verse like that? Before I get done tonight, you'll see more in the life of the Apostle Paul. But look here in verse number 8. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our," what's that next word? "Trouble, which came to us in Asia." That'll go along with the hole in the oil pan, won't it, Brother Cole? Amen. You read that to your daddy when you get home, will you? Amen. That'll go along with the flat tire. Amen. "And that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." I want to preach for just a little while tonight on this subject, when we're pressed out of measure. The thought here is when we just can't take it any longer, when we're just pressed to the point where something's got to give. How many's ever heard somebody say something like that? Boy, something's got to give. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get to that point, that's when you're going to find out what a friend we have in Jesus. When you get to that point where you have no strength left, you have no ability to do anything about the situation, you're going to find a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just look at it together tonight for a few minutes. You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us. Father, I thank you tonight for each one that's come. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the sweet Spirit of God in our church. Lord, I pray we'd ever guard that. Lord, we don't take it for granted that you would come and meet with us. And Lord, we know we're not the only church. We know, Lord, you've got young and scattered out all over the land tonight that are standing, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless everywhere, Lord, that the truth is being proclaimed. And I ask you, Father, tonight to clothe us in our calling. Make me a blessing, our Father. Make the Word of God a blessing. Make the message a blessing to your people tonight. And Lord, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When pressed out of measure, I use this text, and I don't know where the notes are to the message, but I preached the message in prison that the men really enjoyed. It was, I titled the message, "How to Beat the Full Court Press," in basketball, and I knew a little bit about basketball because my girls played basketball. One of the things about the full court press was that you were trying to deny points on this end, steal the ball, and get points on that end. But one of the things I thought about as I was preparing to preach this message, as my mind and my heart went back to that message, and God really used it in the prison. God only knows what those men face from day to day in that wicked environment that they live in. But one of the things about beating the full court press, one of the greatest things is you need to know it's coming. If you have a coach that never coaches and never trains and never lets the team know that this is one of the things before this season's over, maybe before our first game's over, that we're going to be facing, then you don't have much chance of beating that press. I remember another point in the message. I'm not going to preach that message, but one of the things that I remembered was when you're bouncing the ball, you can't be looking at the ball. If you're going to beat the full court press, you got to be looking for somewhere for that ball to go. And you got to keep your chin up. You got to keep your eyes up. And when we're pressed out of measure, we don't need to be looking down. If ever there's a time in our life, we need to be looking up. And we need to realize, boy, I can't believe this. But another thing was, we need to be able to discern the voice of the coach. You get in a basketball game where there's a gym full of people. And beloved, listen, there's voices hollering from everywhere. But you got to be able to discern. How many's with me tonight? The voice of the coach. I didn't mean to say all that, but I believe God's setting the message up tonight. We know the press is coming. How many knows that? Amen. It's coming. It's coming in the life of the believer. And God wants us to be prepared for that. Thank God we have a coach. Thank God the Holy Ghost will take us into the Word of God, give us instructions, amen, when it comes time to beat the press. When pressed out of measure, I want to give you just, I don't know, I didn't number them, but 5 or 6, 7 things maybe, I don't know, I didn't number them, but let me just give them to you quickly tonight. The Bible said in verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. I want to just say this to you tonight. When you're pressed out of measure, it's good to know you're in the will of God. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Well, I'll just give this like I'm talking to my brother Colt tonight. Listen, brother Colt, when God leads you in the ministry, you better know it's God leading. Because then when you're going in, everything may look really, really good. But it might not be 6 months and things will be looking pretty bad. Somebody help me tonight. And I tell you what you need to know, beloved, listen. That's one of the reasons I didn't take the decision to come here lightly, because I know, listen, I know that trouble will come and I know that trials will come. And you better know you're in the will of God when they come. Say amen. You better have something concrete that you can go back there and stand on. Thank God the Holy Ghost can take me back to those verses of Scripture when he put the church in my heart. Say amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, that helps along the way. Oh, Paul, we're going to get into it in a minute. He went through some things, but I'm telling you what he knew. He knew, listen, I'm not out of the will of God. I'm in the will of God. And when we're pressed out of measure, we better know we're in the will of God. It's one thing for a family to go through a trial in the will of God. It's another thing for a family to go through a trial out of the will of God. You don't know which way to turn, amen. You don't know which way to look. You don't know what to believe if you're out of the will of God. But if you're in the will of God, beloved, then you can take that tonight as help when we're pressed out of measure. Secondly tonight, not only is it good to know you're in the will of God, you ought to just stop and ask yourself the question tonight, am I in the will of God? I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's peace in the will of God. There's joy in the will of God. Say amen. There's rest in the will of God. And when you're in the will of God, beloved, you can trust God tonight, amen, with whatever comes along. The second thing tonight, it's good to experience the grace of God when we're pressed out of measure. The Bible said in verse number 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. When you're pressed out of measure, it's good to know that coming down the road will be Jesus right on time. What will he have, preacher? He'll have grace right on time. He'll have mercy right on time. He'll have comfort right on time. God will bring you, beloved, listen, what your pastor would love to bring you but can't. God will bring you what your spouse would love to bring you but can't. God will bring you what your mom and dad would love to give you but can't. And listen, when we're in the will of God, pressed out of measure, it's good to experience the grace of God. Amen. The third thing the Lord spoke to my heart about, not only is it good to experience the grace of God, and it's sad tonight. This is sad commentary. And there's a lot of God's people that are pressed out of measure, and they know they're in the will of God, and they experience the grace of God. But this is very important tonight. It's good to share the grace of God when you're pressed out of measure. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation. Let me ask you something tonight. How many of you all have had God to come along and comfort your heart in a trying situation? Amen. Now watch this tonight, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. God says, listen, when I'm ministering to you, I don't just have my eyes on you. I don't just have my eyes on that one believer. I'm looking beyond. I'm going to do for you and comfort you that you might go on down the road and be a help and be a comfort to somebody else along life's way. I don't believe God wants us, listen, to be a Dead Sea. I remember visiting Israel, and in that trip, Brother Joe Bird was one of the guides. Brother Winston Sweeney was the other. Two wonderful men as far as I'm concerned. I loved them both, enjoyed the trip. But I found out why the Dead Sea's dead. The Dead Sea is dead because it has an inlet. The Jordan River runs into it, but it doesn't have an outlet. And I believe a lot of God's people, they're not dead, but they act dead because they come to church and they read their Bible and they study their Bible and they pray and they take it in and they take it in and they take it in, but they never give it out. And I believe God wants us, beloved, listen, not just to be a Dead Sea, a place where the truths of God's Word and the comfort of God gathers up and the mercy of God gathers up and the grace of God gathers up, but He wants us to be like a river. The Word of God said, listen, that Holy Ghost to be in you like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I believe God wants it to flow through us. Amen. Listen, years ago I heard the Inspiration sing a song. I'd love for you to learn it, Brother Ralph. It'd be awesome. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. I tell you, it's a blessed song. You look it up. Amen. You can look anything up nowadays. Amen. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. He said, a useful vessel let me be. Amen. Talks about finding someone or seeing someone in need. Beloved, listen, a lot of people in this world need us not to be a Dead Sea, but to be a river and a channel for the glory of God to run through. Amen. The fourth thing tonight, I'm just touching on these tonight, but I want to give you this. When pressed out of measure, it's good to remember the plan of God. Look at verse number 9. The Bible said here, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Listen, we heard songs tonight in the choir. Talked about a day when you and I were sinners. When you and I were lost and undone. We heard in the special, without God or His Son. The Word of God teaching us here, we need to remember that God has a plan, the plan of God. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, He will yet deliver us. Oh, beloved friend, listen, I believe we need to remember that God has a plan. You say, preacher, why did you bring that up? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 for just a moment. 2 Corinthians, just turn over a few pages to chapter number 11. Listen, how many remembers, I just touch on this briefly, but how many remembers when Joseph, listen, was thrown into that pit by his brethren? Do you remember that over there in the Old Testament? Do you remember when things seem to be up now, on the up and up, and Joseph is down there at Potiphar's house, and things are going well? And this is the way I like to say, and I believe it lines up with the Bible. Potiphar was a pretty smart guy. He realized that everything Joseph touched turned to gold. I mean, the hand of God was on Joseph. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, what Joseph needed to remember, not just in Potiphar's house, but in the pit and in the prison where he was headed, because he was going to be falsely accused of trying to force himself on Potiphar's wife. What Joseph needed to remember in order to make it through was God had a plan. This is just a little piece of God's big plan. I believe with all of my heart, you and I ought to remember that tonight when we're pressed out of measure. There was a little grandson down in the floor. The grandmother was doing that, cross stitch, and the little boy said, what are you doing, Grandmama? And she said, I'm making a beautiful picture. He said, oh no, it's not beautiful, because he was looking at the backside of the canvas, at the backsides where all the knots were. Let me tell you something right now, beloved. There'll be some knots in life. There are going to be some ugly places in life. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, there are going to be some times when we're pressed out of measure. But that grandmother said, oh, it is beautiful. Come up here in my lap. And when he came up in her lap, he was looking at it from a different side. Can I tell you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, everything's not good in the life of the believer, but everything's working together for good. I promise you that God is painting a beautiful picture, and that one day you and I are going to come out on the other side just like Jesus. Hey, hallelujah. Sinless, amen. Spotless, just like the Lamb of God. And that's a blessing to me to know that when we're pressed out of measure, God has a plan. Amen. You're in the will of God. You're right in the middle of his plan. Watch this now. The Bible said here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, watch it with me, please. We'll start in verse 23. The Bible said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. Now listen to me. Paul wasn't in prison because he wanted to go into prison ministry. Say amen. Let me tell you something else. Paul wasn't in prison for stealing. Paul wasn't in prison, amen, for killing somebody. He got by with that when he was a sinner. Say amen. With persecuting the church of the living God. But Paul's in prison because they don't like that gospel he's preaching. They don't like what he's doing in the world. He's not in prison for doing wrong. He's in prison for doing right. The Word of God said, in death off of the Jews five times, received thy 40 stripes, save one. I just thought about this. Listen, the very ones that he said, I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. The very ones he said, what was it over there in Romans chapter 10, brethren, verse 1, my heart's prayer to God, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I tell you, Brother Ralph, when I read verses like that, I can't help but if they was whipping Paul and beating him, I'm telling you, I can't help but wonder if he wasn't praying, oh God, Lord, they're blind. They're just like I was. God, they think they're doing the right thing. Oh God, take the blinders off of them. I'm telling you about a man that was pressed out of measure, but he was able to make it because he knew God had a plan. Amen. God's plan was bigger than man. God's plan was bigger than what was going on. He said here, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. You remember that? They left him outside the city for dead. Many Bible scholars think that's when Paul was caught up into the third heaven. When he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. I'm telling you, beloved, this man went through some things. I tell you, thank God, thank God, thank God. Through it all, he realized, my God has a plan for my life. Amen. When pressed out of measure, it's good to remember God has a plan. He said, I was stoned. I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day, I have been in the deep. Now, I believe he was probably... Listen to me carefully. You can take this up with the Lord, but he's probably grabbed onto a piece of wood, or he's grabbed onto something probably when that ship wrecked, or maybe he's a good swimmer, or God might have sent a fish along to carry him. Say amen. But he said, a night and a day was I in the deep. I'm going to tell you something right now. He was in the deep, but he wasn't alone. There was somebody there with him, amen. There was somebody that's saying, hey, son, I got a plan. I'm not finished with you yet, and you will be delivered, amen. And God delivered him again. In journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils by the heathen. Let me ask you a question. How many of you all believe the Apostle Paul is exaggerating in these verses? Let me tell you something I believe. I don't believe the Holy Ghost would allow you to exaggerate. And it get put in the Word of God. Say amen. In other words, I believe every Word of God is true. I believe it's just like, listen, we read these verses, and beloved, listen, we can't even begin to fathom what one man of God is going through in these verses that we read. And God told him right up front, you're going to suffer. Let me tell you something. God didn't lie to him. God let him know he was going to be his apostle to the Gentiles. He was going to be pressed out of measure, the word of God said. And it's good to remember that God has a plan. He said here, perils in the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. I believe that hurt him terribly. And weariness, painfulness, watchings often, hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. You know, I believe the old devil come along many times in Paul's ministry and said something like this, where's your God now? Say amen. I'm going to tell you where mine is. Whether I'm on the mountain or whether I'm in the valley, he's on the throne. And he has a plan for my life. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I thank the Lord for that tonight. Listen, the Bible said, besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me, what's that next word say? Daily. Brother Rose, if I'm understanding this right, it didn't matter if Paul was in the deep, if Paul was stoned and left outside the city, if Paul was being let down in a basket, it didn't matter if he was in perils in the sea or perils of countrymen, perils of false brethren, it didn't matter where he was. He had the church of the living God in his heart. Am I reading that right? The word of God said the care, besides all this, the care of all the churches daily. Thank God for a man that cared the church in his heart. Amen. Listen, it's good to remember God has the plan. And he said, now, besides these things come upon me daily, the care of all the church. He said, who is weak? And am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Look at verse 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. You know something tonight? This is one time when Paul realizes he escaped the hands of the enemy. But I wonder when Paul got home before Jesus and got home to heaven, how many times that God showed him that he escaped the enemy and he wasn't even aware of it. I believe we'll shout, there'll be no such thing as time in heaven. But if there was, we'd probably shout a million years just to find out what God delivered us from that we didn't even know was there. Say amen. The Bible talks about this being pressed out of measure. It's good to remember the plan of God. Then let me give you this. I'm trying to hurry. Verse 11. You also helping together by prayer for us. Now you say, preacher, what is it when someone's pressed out of measure? I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to him. This is what God told me to say right here. It's good for somebody to get a hold of God. You know what Paul realized? Not only, oh, hallelujah, this goes along with what you said, Cole. Not only does he have the churches in his heart, but he realizes, hallelujah, even a church as carnal as a church in Korea had him in their heart. When he was pressed out of measure, somebody was getting a hold of God on his behalf. Isn't that a blessing tonight? To know that you got brothers and you got sisters and you got somebody that'll pray when you need somebody to pray. It's a blessing tonight when you're pressed out of measure. I tell you tonight, Brother Mitchell, he has a need tonight. His greatest need tonight is somebody get a hold of God. Somebody go get Jesus. Somebody get a hold of God. That's his greatest need. Let me ask you something tonight. What if that was your pastor tonight? What if that was your husband tonight? What if that was your wife tonight? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, when we're pressed out of measure, we need somebody. What if that was your teenager tonight? Brother John, I was thinking about Pete. I think his name's Pete, the man I bought the mower off of, brother. Is his name Pete? I was thinking about his son the other day. I hadn't heard from him. Think I need to text him, Brother John. Let him know we ain't forgot. We're still praying. What if that's my 14-year-old boy?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
We need to get a hold of God. It's good to remember. Good to know that someone will get a hold of God. Let me give you this. I'm done. Just a couple things quickly. I just looked up at the clock. Amen. I have an excuse tonight. Amen. I just looked up at the clock. I don't have my watch. My wife left it in the car. Maybe she should do that all the time. Amen. I left it at home and she left it in the car. Maybe you should leave yours in the car. We'd be better off, wouldn't we? Amen. Look at verse 20. The Bible said, for all the promises of God in him are yea. Give you this tonight, just a couple things and I'm done. When you're pressed out of measure, it's good to know the promises of God. I got something in the mail the other day. I don't know if I've showed it to you yet, Miss Eve. But boy, it's beautiful. It's about that thick, and it's a good size. I don't think you would call it a pocket size, but it is a handy size. It's just full of scriptures for different things that we face. And I may need to get that back out and look at it. The Lord just reminded me about it. But you know, I believe with all of my heart tonight, I want to spend time in this book. You know, I don't think it's any coincidence tonight that the man of God stood here a while ago, Brother Cole, said God dealt with me about my private time or my quiet time with him. That I was kind of slacking in that area. Brother Cole, let me tell you something. You ain't by yourself. God brought a message this morning, amen. We need time in the Word of God. And it takes time to get in the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It'll happen on purpose. It'll never happen by accident. It has to happen on purpose. There's a great revival that comes around the Word of God. We need to know the promises of God. I heard somebody say years ago, okay, we're going to do some Bible memory work. I want somebody to quote a verse. I heard a preacher say years ago, a fella stood up and said, Jesus wept. He said, okay, honey, your turn. He got my verse. I believe we ought to hide this word in our heart. I believe we ought to know. Brother Rose, have you ever prayed? Said something like this, God, I don't know where you're at. And I don't sense your presence. But ain't it good to be able to say, Brother Rose, but I know you're here. Because you promised me you'd never leave me. You'd never forsake me. Ain't it good, beloved, listen, when you got two ends of a rope and you don't have any idea how you're going to bring them together. Ain't it good to be able to say, God, I don't know how, but I do know you. I'm telling you, honey, I've watched God so many times in my life bring them two ends together, amen, in a way that I could never have imagined, amen. You say, oh, where'd you get? Oh, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Went down there in a meeting one time. I believe it was in Dalton, brother. And they wanted to pay off Dr. Garris's house, and they wanted to do some remodeling. He had come down with cancer. You girls might have been there. They needed over $80,000. You say, oh, that's a lot of money. Well, to who? Amen. It is a lot of money. But you say, preacher, what happened? I tell you what happened. A bunch of missionaries and a bunch of God's people, just all of them minded the Lord. And you know what happened? Here come the money. Amen. You believe God can do that? I do too. Amen. I do too. The promises of God. Listen, God said, if we'd ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. Amen. I'm glad of that tonight. All the promises of God in him are yea. When you're pressed out of measure, it's good to know the promises of God. And then let me give you this tonight. And Sister Kim, I saw you back there, and you go home and be sure and tell Brother Brian this for me, okay? When you're pressed out of measure, look here at the last verse. He said, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. Let me just give you this tonight. It's good to have a friend when you're pressed out of measure. Brother Brian was teaching this morning. That's the reason I said that to Sister Kim. And he touched on a verse over in 2 Timothy. Turn over there with me, would you please? 2 Timothy and chapter number 4. Paul's getting ready to leave off the scene. You know, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. But if you go down to verse number 14, Brother Brian touched on part of this scripture this morning. But he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And the Bible said in verse 16, at my first answer, this is what Brother Brian read, no man stood with me. I'm going to tell you something tonight. When you're pressed out of measure, you better know you've got a friend in Jesus. Watch what the Word of God said. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Hallelujah. When you're pressed out of measure, it's good to have a friend in Jesus. Amen. I don't know tonight if I'd ever come to a place where I could say, I hope I never have to or never do. Like Paul, no man stood with me. I don't know that I've ever even been close to that place in the ministry. Say amen. But if I did, I can tell you this, there'll be one that'll stand with me. He'll go with me all the way, even to the end of the world. Amen. I appreciate the Lord tonight. Look here in the rest of verse 17. He said, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that, listen, regardless of what you're going through, there's a promise in this old book that you can lean on tonight. There's a person in this old book, the Lord Jesus, that you can lean on tonight. When you're out of strength, he's just fixing to work. The Bible in the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe, Paul said it like this, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Thank God tonight, when we're pressed out of measure, there's a Savior that loves us. There's a Savior that knows what we need. The Word of God said it like this, he knows what we need even before we ask. I believe that, don't you? He knows what we need even before we need. Help me tonight. He knows what we need even before we need. I want to say tonight, what a Savior. The Apostle Paul was a great man. But when you look at his life, you really don't want to come away saying what an apostle or what a man or what a preacher. When you look at his life and examine it carefully, Paul would want us to say, what a Savior. And he's our Savior tonight. He's the Lord Jesus. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you tonight for this precious old book, the Bible. Thank you, Lord, tonight that you didn't say we would never be in trouble, have any trouble, never be pressed out of measure. But, Lord, you did tell us tonight some things that we can cling to when we are pressed out of measure. I pray tonight, dear Father, that you'd speak to our hearts. God, maybe tonight, no one needs this tonight. But Lord, who knows what the morning holds? Who knows what the rest of the night holds? I pray, dear God, tonight, you just help us to put this in our spiritual bank. Be able, Lord, to glean from it in the days ahead. Lord, when we see someone that's being pressed out of measure, help us to have compassion. Help us, our Father, to pray. Help us to do what we can. And God, to trust you to do what we can't.